time in the summer of 1814, wearing black ribbons in acknowledgement of the death of his wife, she could not admit him to be worth thinking of again. The disgrace of his first marriage might have been got over, had he not done worse. They had been informed that he had spoken most disrespectfully of them all, most slightingly and contemptuously of their family. This could not be pardoned. These were Elizabeth's preoccupations. But now another occupation and solicitude of mind was beginning to be added to these. Her father was growing distressed for money. While Lady Elliot lived, there had been method, moderation, and economy, which had just kept him within his income. But with her had died all such right-mindedness, and from that period he had been constantly exceeding it. And now he had gone so far even as to say, "Can we retrench?" Their two confidential friends, Mr. Shepherd, who lived in the neighboring market town, and Lady Russell, were called to advise them how to reduce their expenditure without involving the loss of any indulgence of taste or pride. Lady Russell was most anxiously zealous on the subject and gave it much serious consideration. They must retrench. That did not admit of a doubt, but Lady Russell's suggestions for reduction of debt had no success at all, could not be put up with, were not to be borne. Sir Walter would sooner quit Kellynch Hall at once than remain in it on disgraceful terms. "Quit Kellynch Hall!" The hint was immediately taken up by Mr. Shepherd. Sir Walter was not only to quit his home, but to see it in the hands of others. Kellynch Hall was to be let. London or Bath were the considered alternatives to their present place of residence. Sir Walter had at first thought more of London, but Mr. Shepherd felt that he could not be trusted in London, and had been skillful enough to dissuade him from it, and make Bath preferred. During this time the country was at peace, and an excellent choice of officers might serve to let the house. The very first application for the house was from an Admiral Croft, who had, in the course of a pretty long conference, expressed a strong inclination for Kellynch Hall, and given every proof of his being a most responsible, eligible tenant. "And who is Admiral Croft?" was Sir Walter's cold, suspicious inquiry. Mr. Shepherd was eloquent on the subject, pointing out all the circumstances of the Admiral's family, which made him peculiarly desirable as a tenant. He had seen Mrs. Croft, too. She had been present almost all the time they were talking the matter over.
"She is sister to a gentleman who did live amongst us once. She told me so herself. Sister to the gentleman who lived a few years back at Monkford. Bless me, what was his name? Can you help me to the name of the gentleman who lived at Monkford, Mrs. Croft's brother?"
After waiting another moment,
"You mean Mr. Wentworth, I suppose," said Anne.
Mr. Shepherd was all gratitude.
"Wentworth was the very name. Mr. Wentworth was the very man. He had the curacy of Monkford, you know, Sir Walter, some time back, for 2 or 3 years. You remember him, I'm sure."
Sir Walter was talked into allowing Mr. Shepherd to proceed in the treaty, and felt that a more unobjectionable tenant, in all essentials, than Admiral Croft, could hardly be found. Mr. Shepherd was completely empowered to act, and no sooner had such an end been reached than Anne left the room and said with a gentle sigh,
"A few months more, and he perhaps may be walking here."
He was not Mr. Wentworth, the former curate of Monkford, however, but a Captain Frederick Wentworth, his brother, who had come into Somersetshire and found a home for half a year at Monkford. Anne and Captain Wentworth were gradually acquainted, and when acquainted, rapidly and deeply in love. A short period of exquisite felicity followed, and but a short one. Troubles soon arose. Sir Walter, on being applied to, without actually withholding his consent, professed resolution of doing nothing for his daughter. He thought it a very degrading alliance, and Lady Russell, though with more tempered and pardonable pride, received it as a most unfortunate one. Lady Russell would have none of it. Anne Elliot, with all her claims of birth, beauty, and mind, to throw herself away at 19, involve herself at 19 in an engagement with a young man who had nothing but himself to recommend him, and no hopes of attaining affluence, but in the chances of a most uncertain profession, and no connections to secure even his farther rise in the profession, would be indeed a throwing away, which she grieved to think of. Captain Wentworth had no fortune, but he was confident that he should soon be rich. Such confidence, powerful in its own warmth, and bewitching in the wit which